Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
In Cutler!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The director of Hoosiers and Rudy, David Anspach, here on the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With me saying how much fake Rudy is, Hoosiers? None of that happened! Is that what you're saying?
Earlier on the show, sports media personality John Boy. Still to come, Stanford head coach David Shaw. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. CNN Plus host and 12-year NBA veteran Rex Chapman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We spoke to John Boy of John Boy Media about opening day. In baseball, by the way, it was 29 years, is that right? 29 years ago today, The Sandlot premiered in theaters near
what?
You.
Oh, man.
The Sandlot is almost a 30-year-old movie.
Killing me. Sandlot t-shirt.
It was 46
that.
Years ago today that the famed Bad News Bears first hit a theater near you.
Buttermaker.
The great Walter Matthau.
Wow.
And Tatum O'Neill pitching.
Kelly Leak.
I learned these facts during the commercial break by reading the Twitter feed of our third hour guest, Rex Chapman.
Yeah, you did.
Who's adding that to his Twitter repertoire these days, letting you know when pop culture anniversaries are hitting and movies are hitting in theaters near you. So he's got a lot on his plate, including the new CNN Plus show, Rex Chapman, his interview show. And he'll be joining us in hour number three to talk about that.
I found a bunch of Rex Chapman basketball cards at home.
Did you really? You want him to sign them?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to ask him to do?
I think so.
I mean, the man's just coming here to promote his show and have a conversation with us, and you want to actually use the moment to improve the value of some of your material?
I'm not going to sell them, but they're
what are you
cool.
going to have? You're just going to have them at home?
Yeah, old Charlotte Hornets. And one from the Bullets days.
You'll never sell them.
No.
You'll hold on him to forever.
Yeah, no, I'll never sell
him. You'll never give him to Cage, and then one day he'll just say the old man is just, you know, he's crapping his pants. He won't know.
I mean, I can't control what Cage does when I'm old and senile.
Well, you just got to teach him, right? That's all.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Good one.
That's Susie with the fork in the sink.
Nah, definitely doesn't call me dad, that's for sure. She'll teach Taylor how to say that to me, my daughter. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Before we get to your news update, David Shaw of Stanford Football in his 10th year of being on the NFL Network first round draft set, he will be joining us on this program in 18 minutes time. And then in hour number three, Mike Vrabel, before Rex Chapman joins us in studio, the reigning coach of the year in the NFL. How about them apples? He'll be joining us.
I love it.
This will be good time stuff. Before we get your news, let's just take a couple of phone calls here. Nathan in L.A., you're here on the Rich Eisen Show at kickoff hour number two. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, it's been a while. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for calling. What's going on, bro?
I called because I wanted to congratulate you on the Emmy nomination.
Thank you.
And both you and Dan are now on the same list.
Yes.
If I may, I don't suppose it'd be possible to invoke a little Dan Patrick Show tradition and see if I could get you to agree to a pie to the face wager with him.
You know what? I'm going to abstain. That's a Dan thing. That's what gets him nominated. You know, and then me, you know, denying my callers what they're asking for is what gets me nominated. So I got to stay true, Nathan. You know what I mean? But it's and thanks for the call, man. I greatly appreciate that. I do want to say this. We're sitting here on the campus of AT&T, used to be DirecTV, now AT&T, and in the same studio that we started in October, right, of 2014.
Correct.
So we're coming up on our 8th year anniversary. We would not be in this building. We wouldn't be on this campus if Dan Patrick hadn't already blazed the trail for DirecTV on the old audience channel. We have a bunch of people here. I'm looking at one who worked for the audience channel and now is sitting here on the set. I'm looking at you, TJ. I don't know if you're paying attention, but I'm looking at you. So, you know, many folks who worked on this show, you know, and we've since parted ways as of 2 years ago. But without DP, this show doesn't exist, nor did the channel have a show like Dan and then wanted to have a shoulder programming and put 6 hours together. Chris Long, the major domo of Audience Network for all those years, and his legacy lives on in a way with the fact that Dan and that this was pure happenstance, too, that Dan's show this show followed Dan's show for all those years on Audience and now is doing so on Peacock as well. And that's now, as of yesterday, officially christened 6 straight hours of Emmy-nominated material. And I know Dan's program, that's their 5th show nomination. As I think Paulie was joking, they're going for their 0-for-5 drive. Drive for 0-for-5. this is our 2nd. But it's our 1st since, you know, being out on our own. And we couldn't be more happy about that. So no pie in the face. Does that mean I would lose the Emmy and then get a pie in the face on top of it if Dan wins it? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know. I think.
Shane in Boulder, Colorado will take your call. What's up, Shane?
Hey, how's it going, Rich?
How's
it going, guys?
What's going on?
So I got a great question. So in the NFL, I saw a stat recently that in the last 10 years, the Pittsburgh Steelers have had a winning season. That's great. That's awesome. I'm happy for Steelers fans. They've got to enjoy winning seasons for 10 years. Now on to my other question. Would you as a fan rather go the Steelers route and have 10 years of a winning season and know they have not won a Super Bowl in those 10 years? Or would you rather go the route of most other teams in the NFL every 3 years, tearing everything down, getting rid of the front office, bringing in a new front office?
No way.
Getting rid of players, accumulating draft capital when the draft is like 50-50 when you draft the players. It's like hitting the lottery almost. Doing that, accumulating cap space in the hopes that this new front office coming in is going to get the job done and build a new dynasty. And most of the times, it never happens.
So what's
ever.
What's your obviously?
I can't believe fans still want that. I can't believe fans in the NFL still are like, "Yeah, new front office, man. They're going to do it this time. They're going to."
Well, I would much rather
they're not.
Then
no,
Shane,
they're not.
Shane,
you
I
need to look at the Steelers.
Yeah,
what they did.
Yeah,
that's what more NFL teams need to do.
No, trust
winning
me.
Product brings fans happiness, not rebuilding seasons going 2-15 now.
Thanks for the call, Shane. Appreciate it. Look, man, how many times have I pounded the table for Mike Tomlin here and told every Steeler fan that thinks, you know,
right,
that he's not doing the right job and they need to trade this, they need to trade that and
or
get him out.
Just fire him.
Correct,
yeah.
And get him out.
Yeah.
I told you, like, he would be snapped up within 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Steelers fans are so lucky to have Mike Tomlin. And, of course, you want to have the steadiness. You have to have the steadiness. I thought he was going to go, would you rather have the constant churning, but you would at one point
win a Super Bowl.
Right. I thought that's where he was going with that.
That's what I thought.
And I would still take the 10 straight years of winning. By the way, it's every year since Tomlin's taken over. It's longer than 10 years of a non-losing record, you know? All right, so 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your calls whenever we can or over the next hour plus of this program. We're in hour number 2. Chris Brockman, ready for news updates? Will we be on time for our friend from Stanford talking some draft in the NFL? Here we go. Chris Brockman's news update right here on the Rich Eisen Show on a busy Masters Thursday and opening day of baseball.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, Someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever. It's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Hey, just a few NFL items, guys. Sam Darnold, Rich, you remember him. You're a former Jets quarterback and had a not-so-great year in Carolina last year. He was on our buddy Taylor Lewan. And what's the other guy's name?
Oh, my God.
He was on Bussin' with the Boys podcast.
Will Compton?
Oh, Will Compton. Right, right, right.
Nice.
And he was asked if he can still be a productive NFL quarterback. Here's what he said.
It truly is, and this is kind of where you're not going to believe what I say, but just bear with me.
I'll be ready.
Yeah. It truly is, like, whatever happens, happens. Because mm-hmm. that's, at the end of the day, like, it's out of my control.
Yeah.
And I know that. And so I have enough security in myself to where I can be like, I know I'm a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. I know I can be a good quarterback in this league. I've proved it. And I know there's a team if, you know, something happens that would want me. The part that pisses me off is when people judge like my game, mm-hmm. like how I'm playing. Then I'm like, hey, bud, like go strap it up. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, you're a fan and I respect you being a fan. And you can talk all the shit you want. And I'm not going to do anything about it at the end of the day, but like, take it easy. Mm-hmm. Like, what if I was like, hey, like the house you just worked on, piece of like,
yeah,
like, you're so bad at tiling. Like you should really go get another job. Really think about your profession.
Yeah.
You know, it's like sometimes you just want to say stuff like that, but you can't.
Why not?
I mean, yeah, I could.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
No, I'm with you. I wouldn't say that either.
Yeah.
I wish that
I like Darnold
showed
up.
I wish that Darnold would show up more, and I think that Darnold needs to show up more. And I would wish that Darnold would have shown up in New York City. Hey, man, I was all in on the Sam Darnold train, and
yeah,
he is the perfect example of nature versus nurture. Do you have to be in the certain situation in order for you to succeed, or can your talent just absolutely take over and it doesn't matter who's there? You're so fantastic. And you know, he is the perfect example of that. He gets drafted by a Jets team that has Todd Bowles, a defensive minded coach that's there. Do me a favor, look it up. Who are the Jets offensive coordinators? I think was it Brian Schottenheimer when he got there? Did he have Marty Morningweg as a coordinator too? You know, constant churning of coordinators. And then not enough weapons and not enough protection around him, getting hurt. I mean, his first throw, his first game, his first touchdown pass was to the other team. He threw a pick six, you know, on opening night of Monday night against the Lions, and then won that game. And then you just couldn't really evaluate him.
The OC was Jeremy Bates in 2018.
Okay.
And then in 2019, it was Dowell Logans.
And now he shows up in Carolina, and you know they were 3-0. Remember, they were 3-0, and there was MVP talk about him.
MVP talk.
So I understand that he's frustrated, but he just didn't play consistently well enough. It also didn't help that McCaffrey wasn't there, and that Belichick, you know, is a professional undresser of Sam Darnold. He had him seeing ghosts in New York. Yep. That's another unfortunate thing for his career. Unfortunately for him, though, is I don't believe he's going to get a chance to. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see what Carolina does with that first overall draft choice. Because if it's Kenny Pickett, I have a feeling they're going to have to throw him out there. And they got
Kenny Pickett.
If it's Kenny Pickett, sixth overall.
But then you have a $19 million backup. Because they're already on the hook for Sam's fifth year.
What do? Do you just wait? You draft a guy sixth overall, you don't really help your team out. You're going to play for the future, and you got I know rules on the 7-year plan, and this is year 3 for him, but there's a very mercurial 10 richest owners on planet Earth owner of the Carolina Panthers that wants to see results.
Yeah. Panthers are talking to every quarterback.
I mean, we all know they kicked the tires heavily on Deshaun Watson.
They did.
So I guess, again, jury's still out on Darnold. In his mind, he feels like he can be a terrific starter in this league, and his play so far has been inconsistent when he's had an opportunity. He had those 3 weeks when the Panthers had McCaffrey, and he looked terrific.
He's shown flashes. I don't know. All right, let's get to this, another soundbite, guys.
Right.
Our buddy Gronk Rob Gronkowski was on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
Oh, is that right?
This was a fun interview. I talked about Tom Brady, said he wasn't surprised that Brady came back, though he thought maybe Tom would take a year off. Also could see Tom playing till he's 50. But the big story here is when Jimmy asked Gronk what his playing future will be.
Do you feel any responsibility to be in there with him, like, you know, Batman and Robin or Starsky and Hutch or Siegfried and Roy?
Peanut butter and jelly. Yes. You know, bread and butter. Yeah, yeah. We'll keep going. Yeah. A little bit, you know, just because, you know, that duel, man, it's just so hard to get that connection, especially in the NFL world. I mean, it doesn't last that long just to see someone have that connection for 11 plus years. I mean, it's definitely in the back of my mind. And it's not really like, you know, do I want to be there? Like it's about playing the game. Like, I want to be there with the guys. Like, that's the best part, being part of the team.
Right.
It's if. Do I want to do that week in, week out schedule? I mean, it's a brutal game for sure.
Brutal.
I mean, I'm blocking guys that sometimes are 300 pounds in front of me. They're coming full speed, smashing me. I'm catching a pass up the middle, and right when I catch it, they're smacking me from my legs all the way up to my shoulders. I'm getting decked. So like,
and that doesn't happen to other people at their jobs.
No, yeah. No, not that often. But I mean, I do love that. But I mean, it can get grueling.
You know, the conversation about Brady when he retired for 6 weeks was, what else does he have to prove anyway anymore? Mm-hmm. Right, he's the GOAT. Mm-hmm. He's got all those rings. He's a certain age and whatever,
all the records.
That is never applied to Gronk because of how young he is still. But what else does he have to prove?
Nothing. He's the greatest tight end of all time.
You could make that case. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer he's done.
He has four Super Bowl rings.
You can count 5 years after the season that he's done, and he's going to be in Ohio. He's going to be in Canton. He's going to have a bust in Canton. His speech in Canton is going to be must-see television.
And the party afterward.
And the party afterward is going to be off the charts. He might sell floaties in the pool that he creates in Canton, like he's apparently doing. In the Vegas draft scene, he's going to have a draft party.
I will be
Vegas.
A plus one.
I know you want. I know you want in. Zach, publisher of the Stars, might be able to help you there.
Hey, now.
But that's never applied to Gronk. Never applied to Gronk because of how young he still is. Of course, he's going to still play. Brady's back. He's got to be back.
Right.
You know, the Tommy and Gronky. Why wouldn't he do it? Because he's getting his ass beat.
Yeah.
He's getting caught all the time.
And that hit he took out here in L.A.
Brady could
broke his ribs.
Brady can get rid of the ball.
Right.
Gronk is always going to get cut. He's going to get chipped every single time. And I can only imagine, like, he's sitting there in April, in March, saying, you know, I don't know if I'm up for it. Like, give the guy a couple months. The fact that he's not coming out, what's the matter with Gronk?
Yeah.
Is he pissed at Tom? Is he pissed at the Bucks? Does he want something that he's not getting? I think he just doesn't want to be hit. He doesn't want to be chipped. He doesn't want to. And in order to get ready for that crucible of a campaign of months and months and months and workouts and what have you, it doesn't seem like he's letting himself go. He might just not want to do it anymore.
And I don't blame him one bit.
And he might be on the plan of, like, I'll see, call me after training camp. He might be on the plan of, you know, call me in week six.
Oh, maybe that too.
Call me in week eight. And maybe it'll be just like late June. He's like, I'm in. Just everybody back off. But you could already see he kind of doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And nobody ever applies the what else does he have to prove, because it's like, you know, Rob, you're still a young man. So that's what I get. That's my sense of the Gronk of it all.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 32. He'll be 33.
And that's the whole point.
Month.
It's like, of course, why wouldn't you want to play with Brady? Win another ring. Won't do it again. And you know what? You be the one to get chipped and knocked down or have your ribs blown up in Los Angeles, as what happened to him this past year. All right, let's take a break. We'll be on time for David Shaw. Good way to focus on the news update when you got Tiger
tough.
Woods.
It's tough. He just had a bad chip into the par five. He's going to have to chip up, maybe make par. So it's not looking good for Tiger.
All right, we'll never know. It's a long slog, but the bottom line is he doesn't look like he's all over the map, and he's not ready, and he's not physically able to walk the course just yet. I mean, so far, so good. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. David Shaw of Stanford, my colleague from the NFL Network Draft Set, when we come back.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Do you think, what if Nance ever, do you think Nance would use DFL on CBS?
No.
DFL.
What if you and Nance switched? Like, he did the combine and you did the Masters.
I don't think you'd want to do the combine.
That's not a good deal for him?
No, I don't think that's a good swap for Jim Nance. Hey, Jim, 1 year you do the combine and then I'll do the Masters. You know, run that up the flagpole. Like, should I ask that of Sean McManus when we see him at the Emmy Awards in late May? How about this? Yes. I'll send you over to him.
To Sean McManus?
Yes, and just say, hey, Sean. Call him Sean.
We've never met.
We've never met. Call him Sean. Okay. And just you could just say, Rich doesn't have the time to come over here right now.
Right. He's very busy.
Two-time nominee. He's very busy because they don't serve a damn drop of food here except these little crudité.
It's not even
a pig in a blanket. It's like a put in a blanket. Okay. You know? And so Rich is too busy hoarding all the food. Because they lock us inside, you know, they lock us inside for like 4 hours there.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sean.
But I have a great idea, Sean. I have a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, Nance, you know, look, he's looking a little tired to me. And so the final four Masters back to back is a lot. So what if, you know, we let Jim work a little earlier. So we put him in February at the Combine.
Right.
And Rich takes over Masters
because
coverage.
He's got the dulcet tones that the combine requires.
Exactly.
And I use the Masters tones at the combine.
So Rich already is ready and prepped and practiced and
also
good to go.
Hey, I'll just say this directly to camera. Sean, it's been a while. But I still have my CBS Sports blazer from the US Open coverage from 2003 to 2005.
Yes.
And guess what? Still fits. You know what actually I did, in all seriousness?
Did you try it on recently?
Years ago, when CBS was the partner of Thursday Night Football with NFL Network, we, as NFL Network folks, attended the annual. Every partner of the NFL has a symposium for their employees that invites NFL executives to explain directly to the employees, right, people who are part of the coverage of that network partner, what changes have been made and questions and answers. So it's a symposium, an NFL symposium. The NFL Network attended CBS's symposium in New York City. I attended that in my CBS Sports blazer. Caused a lot of side eyes, side eyes from both CBS and NFL Network people. What are you doing? And I explain to everybody, I'm just showing with my garb the partnership. I'm celebrating the partnership by saying that I was also a groundbreaking member of such a partnership, NFL Network and CBS. And most importantly, still fits.
Welcome to the party, pal.
That's right.
Oh, geez, Tiger, way left.
Oh, gosh. Hang in there, man. All right. My friend is back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mercedes-Benz van phone line, getting set to join the NFL Network first night coverage of the draft for a 10th consecutive year. The head coach of Stanford football, David Shaw, back here on the program. How you doing, coach?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
Are you locked in on the Tiger coverage? Is that what's going on right now, the good Stanford man that you are?
Probably me and most of America at least have it on some device right now.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He looks amazing.
Now, do you have any contact with him at all? Does he have any contact with Stanford football program in any way, shape, or form whatsoever?
Yeah, Coach? We touch base a few times a year. He came to visit us, actually, because we played at Central Florida a couple years ago, right not too far away from his home, and came and gave a great speech to the guy and brought a green jacket and really inspired a lot of our guys, which was awesome.
What do you mean? He brought a jacket with him? Is that what you're saying? Really?
He brought a green jacket to show the guys, and it was kind of going to be a little bit of a surprise, and he was talking about playing at a high level and playing for high stakes, and he had it in a bag, gave a great speech to the guy, and he pulled out in a lot of oohs and ahs, and he actually let me put it on my on my back. I my skin was like, it's just shivering.
Wow. Come on.
Yeah, that's...
Come on.
Probably, yeah. Top 10 non-football athletic moments of my life.
No, I mean, this is you don't even... You're a humble man, but you should... This is, just take the humble out. Just brag. Just say it with your chest, especially since...
Amazing.
Now, how'd it fit? It fit. It fit like a glove, right? You and Tiger have the same dimensions, right, Coach? Yeah.
You know, lengthwise, it's really close. I'm a little thicker in some areas than he is, and he's a little bigger in some areas than I am.
What about the shoulders? Come on, it's got to fit. The whole thing. This is fat.
Shoulders are close, but he's done a lot more weight room work than I have over the last 10 years.
I'm wondering how many people have actually been able to say that they have worn a Tiger Woods one and also brought to the occasion by Tiger Woods Masters Championship jacket. I can't imagine that's a large number of people. Coach.
It's surreal. Absolutely surreal.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I love it. So I'm assuming one of the devices that you might be watching Tiger on right now is not your iPad, because I know that you have that out in front of you for the NFL Network draft coverage all the time, and that's onto which you put all your information. I know that.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. So, I'm about 90% done with my preparation already.
Are you? I love it.
Well,
okay.
I only have to do the first round, so I don't have to do as many as everybody else.
Correct. But, well, you only do the cream of the crop. I mean, you're Stanford. That's, you know, only certain people get on your radar screen in real life, David Shaw, so I understand.
That's all we do.
So let's jump into it. Who's jumped off of film to you? I mean, I know, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau, for instance, is somebody with, clearly you are very familiar with his work. But who has jumped off the film to you where you were like, okay, didn't see that before, or this means something to move up a draft board? Who's that guy so far, David Shaw, for you?
I love Evan Neal. I really do. To be that big, that long, that smooth, you know, reminds me a lot of the greats that play tackle in the NFL where it looks easy. Just looks easy. The way he can change direction and deal with a secondary pass rush, and physical enough in the running game to move people. He was really fun to watch. And besides that, I mean, obviously, Aiden Hutchins, but actually both guys at Michigan. Appreciate how hard they play, snap after snap after snap. Variety of pass rush moves, because your first move is not always going to be the one that wins, but you see a lot. They can do a lot of different things. So. Those three guys really got me excited.
How about that? Okay. And so your thoughts on the quarterback class? I know we've kind of kicked the tires on that last time you were on about a month ago, but now that you are definitely part of the NFL Network coverage, I couldn't be more excited about it. What do you make of this quarterback draft class, David Shaw?
I think Kenny Pickett is ready to play. I think he's, if you don't think he's spectacular, that's fine. But the guy's a really good quarterback. Hand size doesn't bother me because he throws the ball accurately. Accurate, good athlete, tough kid, smart kid. The rest of the class to me is like flavors of ice cream. You know, what are you looking for? What fits you? There's some guys with high ceilings, like Malik Willis, Desmond Ridder, that maybe aren't 100% ready to jump into an NFL team and play. But there's some height. There's a height up there, athletically and ability wise, that you can see some things that they may be able to do in the NFL. I like Matt Corral. Last time we talked, I still really do. He's got some athleticism. He plays with a fire. He plays with an energy. He can generate power from different body positions, which you're going to have to in the NFL. And I like Sam Howell as well. But for a lot of those guys outside of Kenny, it's now what are you looking for and what fits your system?
So let's just jump into the crux of it. What we're going to be talking about is we're apparently going to be in front of the Bellagio fountains on 3 weeks from tonight, David Shaw. Like we're in Ocean's 11 together. So
one of my favorite movies, by the way.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the all-timers.
I don't know if you're aware, but we are breaking in to the casino that night as well.
As long as I'm not the one that goes in the thing that he has to come out of.
Yes.
As long as I'm not that guy, I'm all in.
Yes, you're not the grease man. Don't worry, I'll be the grease man. So, when it all comes down to it, it's going to be Panthers on the clock, sixth overall, unless somebody's already traded up into the fifth spot. The Giants are rumored to say, come get this pick if you want Pickett. Let's just say Pickett's chosen by the Panthers, sixth overall. They don't have another choice till the fourth round. What would you say? Rehearse. Would you say that this is the proper maneuver for a Panthers team that already has Sam Darnold sitting there? What do you think?
It would just say a lot about how they feel about Sam Darnold, obviously. Sam, and you have talked about Sam for multiple years now.
Yes.
When Sam has time and Sam has receivers, he is accurate, he's athletic, he's got good size, he's a tough son of a gun, he's taken a lot of hits over the last few years, he always bounces back, he's never shied away. So organizationally, they would just be saying, hey, we're ready to move on and take Kenny. And I think either path to me makes a lot of sense, because there's a lot of things around that position. First of all, you give whoever's playing quarterback a healthy Christian McCaffrey, which Christian came to visit us last week, and he feels great. You give him a healthy Christian McCaffrey, maybe get one more weapon. You've already got a couple of really good receivers, and maybe get a tight end, a little more athletic tight end. And now you've got a quarterback with some guys around him that can make some things happen. So Kenny would be a great pick, in my opinion. I think he's the most ready to play. He's tough. He's smart. He's accurate. He plays with a little spunk, a little fire. I think that would be a good fit.
All right, I'll bite a little bit more. You said you saw McCaffrey. He looks great. I mean, give me a little bit more on that, Coach.
NFL Comeback Player of the Year. Is that too early?
Oh.
Do we have to wait? We have to wait to watch him work out. But yeah, Kirsten spent some time here back at Stanford. Good talk with our guys. He and I sat down and talked for a little bit. He looks great. He's got that fire in his eye. And just like all the greats, you give him something to battle, right? He's coming off of an injury. People are now talking about, is he going to get traded? What's all this stuff? And he's got that fire right now, and he is ready. That's all I can say. I know he is ready and excited to start the offseason.
No, I know. And the question about him, David, is are we seeing just a case of just terrible luck, just awful luck for the Panthers, for him, for football fans, because of how dynamic he is? Obviously, there's the fantasy aspect that, you know, in real life doesn't matter. But, you know, are we just seeing somebody who's terribly unlucky, or the manifestation of the question marks that surrounded him when he was drafted out of your program, that when it all comes down to it, the grind of an NFL season will grind him down, you know?
My opinion right now, which I'm not going to pretend that I'm not biased,
right,
is that it's been bad luck. You really watch Christian McCaffrey play, he doesn't get hit squarely very often. There are a lot of glancing blows, so it's not like he's been beaten up. He had an ankle that he tried to play through that he couldn't play through. That happens a lot of different positions. So I don't see a running back that's taken a lot of pounding that you say, man, he's not going to be able to hold up. This guy's already broken multiple NFL records. He's had a couple of instances of just being a football player and getting dinged up. But he is quick, still quick, explosive, athletic. It's not like one of those running backs where he's lost a step and you don't think he can do what he used to do. This cat is still young, and he's ready to explode on the scene.
Stanford football head coach David Shaw, he's going to be on the NFL Network Thursday night draft set 3 weeks from tonight for the first round of the NFL draft for 10th straight season right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You mentioned different flavors, right, for quarterbacks, for what flavors teams like. Give me the wide receiver class, and who's your flavor? Who do you think is the class here that might be top 10? And then a nice little steal later on in the first round of a draft where, you know, the Packers and Chiefs, who just lost traded away Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill, are sitting there. What do you got for me on that front, Coach?
Well, as much as it pains me to say anything positive about somebody from USC, I do like Drake London. Big, athletic, and his ceiling, we don't really know what it is because he's really just getting into his own as a football player. This guy was a basketball player that's picked up football, that's really worked at it. For a big guy, he's got great agility. He's got a ridiculous catch radius, hand-eye coordination, physical, hard to tackle after the catch. But I go back and forth between he and Jameson Williams. I love the speed and athleticism of Jameson. The way he can just, I mean, four or five strides, he's already eaten up the cushion of defensive backs. He gets down the field in a hurry. He can stop and start. Some health concerns, but the film tells me that these two guys are the class of the group. But I do like Garrett Wilson also from Ohio State. That guy that can be in the slot, he can be outside. He can be your fly sweep guy, your reverse guy, your receiver screen guy, your run after catch guy. There are a lot of different things that he can do, and I love versatility at the receiver position.
So let's assume those three guys will not be available when the Packers and Chiefs pick. Who do you like down on that end of things?
After those three guys for me, then it's what are you looking for, right? Chris Olave, downfield, explosive receiver, maybe not the over-the-middle guy, maybe not the short area guy, but can really make some big plays down the field. I like Treylon Burks from Arkansas. Bigger guy, physical guy, plays inside. Can be your possession plus, not just a possession receiver, because he can make big plays and he's good after the catch. And then Jahan Dotson from Penn State. Good in the slot, quick, athletic. He's one of those guys, if you're in a lot of three to four receiver sets, he can really work the middle and get away from guys and create some separations for your quarterback.
All right, David Shaw, you know, as much as I'm a team player, I mean, you sat to my left now for now coming up on a decade. You know what it's all about for me. Fourth overall selection. New York Jets are on the clock. What do you think? What's the best scenario for them? Fourth overall. What do you think? I've got my thoughts. I've got some very definite thoughts. But what do you think, David Shaw? What do you got?
It's so tough when you have, no offense, but you got a lot of areas that you could really attack.
No offense taken.
You can make a case for Kyle Hamilton, a serious difference maker at the safety position after losing Jamal Adams. Kyle Hamilton, for me, probably top three safeties that I've seen doing this thing in over a decade. This guy, I don't care what his 40 time is, he comes out of the middle and makes plays better than anybody. Pretty much anybody that I've seen. So that's a difference maker, somebody back there that can make a difference on that level. There are defensive linemen and outside linebackers aplenty. Take your pick, to pick your poison, any of those guys. I like Jermaine Johnson, maybe a little bit high from Florida State, but I really like him. So there are a lot of places, in particular on the defensive side, that I think are going to be good to choose from.
You didn't say my guy. I'll tell you who I like, David Shaw. I want sauce. Bring me sauce. Bring me sauce. Fourth overall. When you got Stephon Diggs signed forever and a day in Buffalo, Tyreek Hill coming to Miami, and then that allows the Dolphins to tell the Patriots of all teams, take another guy from us. Let Devontae Parker do what Wes Welker did for you from us. I want some kid who's just say, I'll take him. That's what I want. What do you think about that notion?
I think that would be great. And the injury concerns about Stingley, you can make a case for him as well, but I think Sauce Gardner is special. Long, fast, athletic, and a guy that you don't have to help, right? You should be able to leave him over there, and he can run with anybody. He's got size. He's got ball skills. Apparently, he just doesn't allow touchdowns either, which is a big thing.
Yes, that's a good – he reminds – well, he's got the body type of another Stanford man, right? That in Richard Sherman, that's the guy that you think of, or unless I'm doing too much of comp work, I should stay out of that lane. What do you think?
No, you're not that far away. The 40 time a lot of times can be mitigated by length, and so the difference between 4.6 and 4.5 or 4.5 and 4.4 can be mitigated if your reach is like 7 feet tall. And this guy's got length. He's got a great feel for the game. He's physical. He's not going to back down for a single human from a single human being on the planet. So I think that would be a great pick.
All right. Is this, and again, you know, what, by the way, gents, what you're getting is David Shaw, you know, at his finest right here. But many times David will then turn to me in a commercial break saying, yeah, you're off on that one. You know, if this was a commercial break, you wouldn't be giving me that one, right? This is,
but we're always on the same page on kickers and punters. Always on the same page.
I appreciate that. Your spring game's coming up around the corner, correct? For Stanford football?
Yes, this Saturday.
Okay. What do you got for me? You got any, what do you think about your team? Give Stanford football fans a little morsel before I let you go, David Shaw.
Well, we are in an interesting spot coming back off of a difficult year. The best thing for us is we had a lot of guys that could have gone pro or could have gone on the portal. A lot of guys came back. We got a great mentality on our football team, and we may have a special quarterback on our hands in Tanner McKee. He's got size, he's got athleticism, he's accurate, he's got a strong arm. And we're going to have a pretty good cast of characters around them. So things are looking up out here at Stanford.
All right, Coach David Shaw, greatly appreciated. I will see you in Las Vegas, Nevada. I look forward to it.
Can't wait.
Me too. Right back at you. That's Coach David Shaw, one of my favorite people right here on the Rich Eisen Show. He will do that. During a commercial break, he will do that.
Slow down.
Well, not just to me, but just in general. You know, like he'll tell you what he thinks. He'll shoot you straight. He always will. And then sometimes during a commercial break, he'll just give you one of these.
So he kind of Chick Hearns you in winning time.
Well,
fist Pat Riley.
Without the profanity and drinking.
Mild racism. Yeah.
Not so mild. All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Mike Vrabel and Rex Chapman, hour number three around the corner. Seeing too much dogwood. Too much dogwood on my screen. Mercedes-Benz wants to know, when was the last time you seriously thought about your dream? It's time for you and your dream to get back together and to help you get back together with your dream. There's something called a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter that can help you do exactly that. Travel around the country, go see family and friends, go commune with nature. Maybe most importantly, start your own business in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. This Mercedes-Benz van that we're talking about means innovative safety features. Features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. You can expect amazing performance and reliability with an MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network. It runs like a dream. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership and get that Sprinter and tell them your dream sent you. Chris Brockman, you said something to me during the commercial break that I find genuinely concerning. You said that Tiger Woods is grunting on every shot, you're saying?
Yeah.
He's laboring?
I don't know. It looks to me like he's laboring. And he is kind of audibly grunting after.
Well, he's even par through nine, so yeah. I mean, which is better than a lot of people.
He just hit a great approach shot on 10, probably stuck it within 10 feet, but had too much backspin, rolled off the green.
His playing partner just holed out from the middle of the fairway.
Yeah,
on
Joaquin
nine.
Neiman just holed out for eagle on 9.
He's the only one to have a red 3 next to his name all day long. Nobody's even touched that number and then fallen off. Yeah, I'm looking through it right here. So, America's favorite Fred Couples is on 18 right now, 3 over. Anytime Fred makes the cut is a great day.
It's the greatest.
You know? So, there's all, that's that.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Casey already withdrew.
What happened there?
I don't know if it was an injury situation, but he was not playing well.
Former champ, Team Callaway member, Danny Willett's 1 under.
Yeah. Matt Wolff having a rough day. He's 8 over.
Oh, boy. How about all them apples? Okay, so that's the latest right here. Our friend Rex Chapman's coming in hour number three. I already mentioned it was 46 years ago today. The Bad News Bears came out, and it was 29 years ago today, The Sandlot came out, and he just posted this one. I guess these are all baseball movies that they want to make sure come out on around opening day. Oh. 33 years ago today, Major League. That's a 33-year-old movie.
Wow.
Premiered in 1989.
Still hilarious.
So poll question it. Okay. Which movie that premiered today is your favorite baseball movie? Sandlot?
Okay.
Major League, the bad news Bears. And I know recency bias will mean bad news Bears goes out. It kills me anytime I hear my kid, Xander, I suggest a movie and it's just too old for him. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, straight out. He doesn't. I'm like, dude, you're old enough now. You're 13 years old. You would get it. And also, he is such a diehard fan of Only Murders in the Building. So he knows who Steve Martin is. And I'm like, this is Steve Martin. You know, he looks the same, oddly enough. But this is him at his finest. And then I would love to introduce John Candy to him. And because he's overcoming, a tonsillectomy from 2 days ago, we figured night two would be the roughest night. We got his sister and younger brother out at sleepovers at other friends' houses. And we're like, so the kids are out. You know, your 11-year-old and 8-year-old sister's out. I suggested Tommy Boy to him. You know, like just get like yes. start pushing him in that direction. And? That my 8-year-old, I don't know if... That would be a little too...
Probably a little too much for Coop, too.
I don't know. So I'm like...
Nothing.
What? Nothing. Because it's too old. It's you. I blame you. Because you're almost a 40-year-old guy, and you won't watch something because it's old. It's black and white, all of that business.
You know what will never get old, though?
This Tommy conversation?
Boy. Well...
Or Tommy Boy?
A movie.
No, I know.
I better not say it. Never mind.
What?
I was going to say Porky's, but that'll never get
well,
old.
Well, Porky's, my dad, Joel Eisen, may he rest in peace, refused to let me go see that in a movie theater.
Well, yeah.
And then.
Yeah, I remember
that. I believe that. How old were you?
I don't remember how old Porky's was.
Well, that was mid-80s.
That's all I wanted to see. I want to see that movie in the worst way.
Yeah, I understand.
It's a good one.
Wouldn't even let me rent it. Like, yanked it from Blockbuster. Porky's, I don't know what he was all. Porky's I don't know what the 81. Deal was with that. Yeah, dude. So I was 13. I was being bar mitzvahed.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to become a man watching Porky's.
You were a man
I'll tell
at
you
that.
Point,
yo.
In the eyes of Porky's. Oh, man. But so yeah, he wasn't.
No go on. Wow.
It was all right. He wound up getting really tired really fast anyway last night. This is no joke. That procedure is no joke.
She didn't watch any? He didn't watch any?
Actually, what he's doing is he's watching Modern Families now. And that's
eating ice cream,
dude. There is no show. I mean, this
one of my
I shouldn't say that
of all time.
That show is, in terms of a hit rate of making you laugh out loud, one of the top hit rate shows of all time. Still today, too. Yeah. I mean, and I know some of these episodes are like well over 10 years old.
Yeah.
And it always ends with a nice little warm feeling. You know what I mean? Like it's so well done.
Yeah, it's great. Like
so, he's watching that now, and it's nice
start
little
from
half
the
hour.
By
episode one, season one.
Oh man,
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. I loved Modern Family. There was a point about 10 years ago where I lived with my friend, and then he actually got married.
Ashton.
Come on, no.
We all and thought.
By the way, I'm enjoying this long-running bit and gag. I know he's going to tire from it. He's already tired from it.
Go ahead. And so, then he got married. So before I moved out, there was a married couple. And, you know, we all had our own schedules, did our own thing.
Yeah.
But every Wednesday, we would meet up for Modern Family. It was like Modern Family night. And everyone made sure they were home. And we'd check out that.
Right,
you know, half an hour with each other,
and then Demi kicked you out of the house.
There you go, man. I didn't get, never got kicked out. All right,
Bruce came over.
Yeah, Bruce did come over. Sure. Wait till my book comes out, or my next book. I'll just say, I'll tell you all the stuff.
Dude, your book, I would buy your book.
Well, I have one. Have you bought it?
I didn't know you had one. You never told me you had a book.
Come on, man. Yes, I have. Everybody
knows. Wait, you never told me you have a book.
Chris, did
you know he had a book?
Yes.
I knew he had a book because he talks about it a lot.
I've never heard you talk about your book ever.
So therefore, what he said is a lie because I don't talk about it a lot.
Clearly.
Or she would have known. So, yeah, it's right here.
What's it called?
That's what she said.
That's your book?
That's my book. I wrote that.
Did you really?
Well, I mean, I executive produced it.
He got famous people to write things, and he compiled it into a book.
Okay. Not just famous people. There were some famous people, but it's basically
it's a cool idea.
Of women wrote into a blank journal what they want men to know and understand.
Cool idea.
Not very good. I'd like to read that book.
Hey, you can order it on Amazon. Oh, okay. I'm going to burn yours.